Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, kids like secrets. They like to have a clubhouse that no one else knows anything about. My sister and I did that when we were kids with a friend who lived in the neighborhood. We had a clubhouse that had a secret entrance that we were sure no one else knew anything about. We had a secret knock so that if you did find the door, you couldn't get in unless you knew the secret knock. And we had secret codes. I don't know if you liked those kind of things when you were a kid or not. Maybe you wrote a letter or sent a message to your friends that was in a secret code. I remember doing that with lemon juice and creating invisible ink so that no one else could see it unless they knew the secret. Well, codes are fun for kids. But they're serious business for nations. And the history of nations and the history of warfare especially is full of secret codes. Right now I'm reading a book for fun called Intelligence in War, because yes, that's the kind of books I read for fun. But I just finished a chapter this morning that talked about the Enigma machine. The Enigma machine was German Army and Navy's way of sending coded messages during World War II. And it was a very complicated machine, a very complex machine that had many moving parts that created a code that they could use that was going to keep their enemies from knowing what they were saying. And they thought that it was literally an unbreakable code. Little did they know that within months of World War II starting, a Polish mathematician and the British government had already broken the code and could read many, if not most, of the messages that were being sent out. Because knowing the code was a big deal, and knowing the code helped the Allies defeat the Nazis during World War II. Decoded messages helped defeat the Luftwaffe as during the Battle of Britain. It helped defeat the German Navy and the U-boats during the Battle of the Atlantic. So breaking the secret code of Enigma is really a fascinating story, and it played a significant part in the Allies defeating the Nazis in World War II. So the question is, what does all this have to do with Easter? And what I want to say to you this morning is that God embedded into the fabric of the universe, God embedded into the DNA of creation a secret code. And in a few minutes, I'm going to take you outside and tell you a little bit more about that. Welcome to Harmony Farms. I'm glad you're on the farm with me this morning to see springtime on the farm. I'm really, really thankful that this season of sheltering in place is occurring in the springtime, because at least we get to go outside and enjoy beautiful days, beautiful weather, and see the new life of spring. Because everywhere we look, there's new life. The grass is green and growing. The leaves are coming out on the trees. The fields of wildflowers have beautiful colors. The wheat fields are waving and growing, and even my garden is starting to grow. But did you know that all of this life comes from death? God wrote a code into the DNA of creation. And very simply, that code is this: from death comes life. The grass that is growing in my pastures is fed by the grass that laid over and died in previous years. And as that dead grass decays, it feeds the soil and new grass grows. The new growth of leaves on the trees is fed by the dead leaves that fell to the ground last fall, and they decay and they enrich the soil from which the tree draws its life. And out in my garden, fertilizer and compost, which is dead matter that decays and enriches the soil, it all brings new life. I've got tomato plants and pepper plants. I've got broccoli and lettuce, and green beans are just starting to come up. But they all started from a seed, a dead and a lifeless seed. But in that seed is life. God determined this from the very beginning. On the third day of creation, God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so.
The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And so it has always been. A plant has to die in order to produce a seed that will in turn bring new life. Jesus, as the author of creation, knew this code, and he referenced it when he predicted his own death in John chapter 10. He said that a seed on its own is just a seed. But when that seed falls to the ground and decays or dies, it actually produces new life and much fruit in the form of more seeds. And so, from death comes life. God embedded that code in creation, and it was there for all to see, but the full meaning of that secret code wasn't made clear until Easter morning.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that trip outside. I did, and I'd love it if you could be here in person. But Jesus spoke in this code. He spoke in this code to his disciples that from death comes life. And they didn't fully understand what Jesus was talking about until Easter. They didn't understand until Easter morning when Jesus was raised from the dead. Since we have been following Jesus with Matthew, I want to show you some places in Matthew specifically that Jesus used this code to talk to his disciples. The first one is in chapter 16, and it begins, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." Now, he tells them that in chapter 16. He uses that same kind of language again in chapter 17, in chapter 20, and in chapter 26. And each time he's very specific. He's very specific to tell them he's going to suffer, he's going to be abused, he is going to be killed, and that he is going to be to rise on the third day. He's that specific every time, and every single time the disciples miss it. One time Peter gets very angry with him for saying it. Another time the disciples are confused by it, but they're afraid to ask him any questions. Another time it just says they're filled with grief over what he had to say. And we can ask why. Why did they not get the message? And I think the reason is because until Jesus was actually raised from the dead, the full extent of this reality was not revealed or not known. It was there for everyone to see. It was all through nature. But yet, it was not something that was fully understood or fully known. We get a clearer picture of that from John chapter 2. The Jews, it says, demanded a miraculous sign from Jesus. And in verse 19 of John 2, Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Now, on this side of the resurrection, it's clear to us what Jesus is talking about. He's referring to his body as the temple, and he's saying that he will be destroyed, but he will be raised again in 3 days. In fact, that's exactly what he says as the verses continue, but they did not get it. And in verse 22, it says, "After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken." It was only after the resurrection that it all began to make sense. So this code that God planted into the DNA of all creation, this code that he spoke into the fabric of the universe, that from death comes life. It could be seen in nature, but the ultimate meaning of it wasn't made known or understood until that morning when Jesus was raised from the dead, when the Son of God, who had been killed on a cross on Friday, who had laid in a tomb through Saturday, was raised to new life on Sunday. And since that day, Christians have been speaking in this code for all to hear and for all to understand. Paul did it when he said to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Or when he said that God, who is rich in mercy, in his great love for us, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Or when he told Timothy at the end of his life, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul knew the code. He knew the secret that had been revealed and was made known. And Paul preached it and Paul spoke it. John did the very same thing. John used the code when he quoted Jesus, saying that we know we have passed from death to life because from death comes life. Out of death comes life. God planned it that way since creation, and he fulfilled it in the resurrection. I hope that this is encouraging to you this morning. But what are the implications of this truth? What are the implications of knowing the code, of understanding, of being able to decrypt what message God is speaking to us? What benefit do we have? And I hope that this helps you just day to day. Here's what I mean by that. Because a basic characteristic of God that is reflected in his creation is that we benefit from all things being made new day by day. God does that day by day. He makes things new. Every 24 hours, we get a new day. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon shines through the night, and the next morning the sun comes up again. Every 24 hours, we get a new day. And that's something we take for granted because it happens every day. But what an incredible blessing that is from God, that he poured into the fabric of creation this idea of renewal, this idea of newness and of new life. And not only do we get a new day every day, but we get new mercies every day. I'll be completely honest with you. Last Wednesday was a rough day for me. For some reason, things just hit me hard last Wednesday. I had a night where I didn't get much sleep. I was restless and I tossed and I turned. I woke up cranky and tired, and not just tired from not a night's sleep. I just woke up tired of the whole season of life that we're in. I woke up tired of the coronavirus and of sheltering in place and all the energy and work that it takes just to do what should be normal things. They're just harder now. I wasn't motivated to do what I needed to do. I just kind of was haphazard in my preparation for our Wednesday night prayer meeting. Wednesday is the day that we recorded our songs for the service you're watching this morning. And my heart just honestly really wasn't in it. And everything I did that day, I just made it through the day hoping I could get to bed that night. But Thursday was a new day. Thursday, I woke up. The sun was shining. I had a better night's sleep. But that wasn't the only reason I felt better. I just felt better because God had given me a new day. I didn't have to live through Wednesday over and over and over, but Thursday came and God gave me a new day. And I immediately thought of Lamentations chapter 3. And we know it best from the song, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him." I love that verse. I love the truth that verse speaks into my life and into your life. And I thank God that we get new days and we get new mercies and we get new hope. And so I hope that this message this morning helps you literally just day by day. But I also hope it helps you through the seasons. God created four seasons. We get to live through spring and summer and fall and winter. And while they're predictable, they're not the same year after year. There's variation and there's difference. But when I use the word season, I'm not just talking about those four seasons. There are also just seasons of life that we go through. And that's a blessing. It's a blessing to have to go through seasons. The season we're in now is one that we have to go through. But it will not last forever. It will only last as long as the Lord determines for it to last. He has the ability and the power to bring an end to it when he is ready to do so. So this season won't last forever. All things are not coming to an end. Life will continue. In fact, life is continuing. People are getting married. People are having children. People are establishing their homes. Life goes on because it's written into the code of the world that life will go on. It's written there by the one who created life. And so it's not just new days or new seasons that God gives us, although I'm glad he gives those to us. But the other truth, the ultimate truth of the resurrection, of knowing the code, is that God gives us eternal life. That life is what we were created for. We were not created for death. We were created for life by the author of life. And the ultimate truth of that is revealed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because death did not defeat Jesus. Paul makes the case for the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it's really a long case. He's very detailed in speaking to what it really means to believe in the resurrection. I just want to read to you from verses 20 through 26 of 1 Corinthians 15. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. From death comes life. This life is not the end of the story. Death is not the end of the story. There is more to come. Zan's family, who we know and we love so dearly, they're experiencing the truth of this today. They're experiencing this in the death of Zan's father, David. And yes, they grieve the loss of her dad. They're going to miss him. The reality is that he is gone from this life. But see, Zan and her mom and her brother and Tim and the kids, they don't grieve as folks who have no hope. That's what the scriptures say. We grieve, but we don't grieve like those who have no hope. And we have hope. We have hope because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of him, we know and believe that from death comes life. We believe that her dad, David, has passed from death to life, and that they and we will see him again in eternity when we are all with the Lord Jesus. And so because of the resurrection, we have hope. Hope in this life, yes, and hope in the life to come, because the code has been broken. The code is revealed. The code is understood. What was always there from the beginning for us to see in nature, we now see clearly in Jesus, because he died and yet he rose, because he was dead and yet he is alive. And the code is not meant to be a secret, folks. It's not meant to be hidden. It was meant to be broken. It was meant to be understood. And anyone can understand it today. The key is belief. The key is belief. For this reality to be a truth in your life, you got to believe it. It is true. It's always been true. It's always been there for all to see. But at some point, you've got to decide whether you believe it, whether you embrace it, whether you will live it. And that's what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he passes from death to life." Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I'm speaking to people this morning who believe in you. And we believe that you are the Son of the living God. We believe that on Friday, you willingly offered your life and that you died for us. We believe that on Saturday, you were in a tomb. And we believe that on Sunday, through the power of the Spirit of God Almighty, you were raised from the dead and you returned to life, to eternal life. And that you were alive and in a new body, and that you walked and spoke and interacted with us for 40 days, and that then you were ascended back into the glory of the kingdom of heaven, where you sit at the right hand of your Father. We believe that you passed from death to life. And we believe that in you, united with you, clothed with you, that we will also pass from death to life. It's our hope. It's what we live for. It makes this life bearable to know that this isn't the end. This isn't all there is. There's a larger story unfolding, and that even death for us is not final. We believe that just as you were raised from the dead, that when you return, you will raise us from the dead, and that we will be with our loved ones. We're glad of that, but more than anything, we will be with you. We will see you, and we will know you, and we will be like you. And so on this Sunday morning, we rejoice, we celebrate, we say hallelujah, because we know and we believe that what has been true since creation will be true for eternity, that from death comes life. Thank you. Thank you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. And we're about to celebrate. We call it to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're about to remember your death and your burial and your resurrection. We're about to give thanks for what you have done for us. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.